tell the people what you're here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
Uh-uh, we got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble, trouble, trouble,
trouble. Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
What's up, Toronto?
Yo, Radio Basics, live, live, always live.
You were listening to Backroads Radio, and now this is Radio Basics. Once again, Monday night, 8 to 9, we back.
Yeah, public radio, community radio.
No. This is radio for the people, you know?
Yeah, we...
CBC is public radio, and it don't represent the public, let me tell you that.
Well, we are hostile to private interests, that's for sure. So.
And public interests that, I mean, interests that pretend to be public, but are really, really working for the private.
Yes.
This is Campus Community Radio, CHRY 105.5. You're with Radio Basics for another week, bringing you the news from the people to the people, from the masses to the masses. That's what we got to say.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
I'm Steve.
Yeah, I'm Justin, JP for short.
And if y'all don't already know, Radio Basics is the radio production, the radio wing of Basics Community Newsletter. If you don't already know, we've been producing our newspaper in Toronto for a couple of years now, representing communities like Lawrence Heights, Regent Park, newly launched in the Esplanade, PO, Pelham. You know what I mean? We're holding it down in Toronto. Toronto's working class communities, trying to get the real world out there on what's happening in our cities, in our country, and around the world. Back from our homelands that are being bombed and assaulted by imperialism.
Yep, we got a website too where our newsletter is available. If it hasn't made its way to your community, it's http://basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com, and right now it's featuring Steve's article. He did a little bit of research work on the bailouts and the budget that just came through, and he discovered some pretty interesting things that the politicians kind of slid right by us. Maybe you could talk about that. Yeah,
well, you know, nobody's been talking about this.
No.
Not the mainstream media,
no.
Unfortunately, not a lot of the critical,
right,
small independent press outlets in Canada. But if you didn't already know, and I'm pretty sure you probably don't if you're not reading Basics Community Newsletter, you know, last week in the federal budget, 2009 federal budget, passed by the Conservatives, accepted by the Liberals and the NDP, while all this discussion was being had about how much money we, you know, should be spent on workers, on infrastructure, creating jobs, creating green shift, blah blah blah, you know, basically the public debate being squared around you know, how much we should go into deficit to pull the economy out of recession, right? Well, the debate was being framed on those terms. You know, the federal government actually passed a $200 billion bailout for Canada's chartered banks.
Cash for trash.
Cash for trash. Cash for trash. Yeah. Buying up trash assets, just like they did in the United States, right? They called it the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program in the United States, where they, and this is only what they debated in Congress, a lot of the bailouts in the United States, which are now topping around $8.5 trillion. I don't even know how many zeros that is. $8.5 trillion of bailouts for the rich. Part of that, only about 10% of that, you know, back in October was debated in Congress. It was filibustered for a while, and then eventually it was passed. $700 billion bailout. You know, Canada now sliding under the table, you know, outside of the eyes of the public. $200 billion bailout for the banks. I mean, though they snuck that by Canadians for now, that's going to lead to serious structural crises in our public system, in the ability of the government to actually provide services for the people. You know, look down the road a couple of years, and what you're going to be seeing is a lot of this rhetoric that, you know, austerity measures, we need to tighten our belt, we can't have government spending around this or that. And I know, Justin, I mean, like, I know in the budget they were talking about how a lot of this budget was spending for the people.
Yeah.
But you have some figures on some serious cutbacks that are coming down the pipes, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now, across Canada, 22,000 childcare spaces are going to disappear when federal funding runs out. Right. And I mean, they just all that cash for trash, right? Like when there's real issues, you know, the money's not there. So in Toronto, that turns out to be about, they're estimating 6,600 subsidized spots in Toronto. There's already 14,000 Toronto families waiting for subsidized childcare. And the city just can't afford to lose even a single spot. But these cuts are going to start like early in the fall, they think. And, you know, it's one newspaper said it was going to occur right through to attrition. So that means just gone, right? Like just
done.
Yeah.
Like their plans for social housing. Done.
Yeah, you know pretty much. So
if we sit back and do nothing and allow these criminal, I mean, this can't be called anything less than criminal. Criminal governments pass hundreds of billions of dollars of bailout money for these institutions, which, I mean, why are they bailing out these? First of all, like, there's a bit of a difference in the United States and in Canada. Like, Canadian banks are not in the same type of crisis in terms of,
we're not as financialized,
of being insolvent as the ones in the United States. I mean, yeah, like, there's definitely parallels in monopoly capitalism between Canada and the United States. But the thing is, and some decent analysis has been done on this, in very few places, but globalresearch.ca, I saw some articles on this about how, you know, the Canadian banks are going to be using this money that they're being given, essentially, from the pockets of the Canadian public, in order to finance mergers and acquisitions when the market is hitting rock bottom, so that Canadian capital can centralize and further monopolize.
Yep.
And it's doing that on the back of workers, of regular, yeah, you know, taxpayers, you know, shifting the tax burden onto working class people. That's another thing. Like in the budget, the tax cuts, the corporate tax cuts, which the conservatives have passed, you know, a law to cut back corporate tax cuts, like 1%, I think it is, a year for the next 5 years. So it gets down to about 15%, the corporate tax rate. That's gonna cut tens of billions of more dollars from the public, you know, the public funds.
Yeah, balanced budgets usually mean social deficits, right? Like that's sort of the way they work. They like to sell off the public assets, the needs of the masses, and you know.
So we gotta really ask ourselves, brothers and sisters out there, who do these governments actually serve? Do they serve us, or are they serving other interests? And if they ain't serving us, then what do we gotta do about it? We gotta organize. That's what we say in Basics. Check out our newspaper, Basic Community Newsletter. Justin, you got anything else on local news?
Yeah, well, just going back to the daycare cuts, right? It's actually part of a more broader trend in the Conservative government or the federal government in general, where it's this almost tacit war on women. It's not explicit, but just sort of like the underlying tendency of what they're doing. Like, I mean, the daycare 6,000 Toronto daycare spots, right? Like
that's going to be like 20,000 people now who need subsidies. I mean, those people who are applying to subsidies, but not to mention all those who need it but who are not.
And even those jobs too, like 22,000 spots. That's thousands of workers, which tends to be the women population, right? Like, I mean, even in the federal budget, all the shovels ready talk and construction jobs, like they're just slanted towards men, and all the sisters, I'm afraid, are being cut out. And it's actually, if you do a little research, Canadian Center of Policy Alternatives, they released a study called the Harper Record, which sort of outlines what Harper's done in various areas and sectors of the society and the economy. And you know, I just went through and looked at a few facts under the women's women's topic. And the 2006 budget cut women's programs of status in Canada by 43%, which closed down, I think, probably like 75% of the regional offices. And these are like groups that work towards women's equality research and advocacy programs, things like this. And And so what it's doing is it's really, really compounding the systemic forms of inequality in global capitalism, basically. Even the conservative government themselves, they have the lowest number of elected women in office, the lowest number of women in their party. And even the budget nowadays, it does nothing to address, like, pay equity or anything like this. Like, it said in that study that on average, women make 64% of what men make, say, like, 39,000 to about 55,000. And then even if you're talking about racialized women, they make 64 cents for every dollar that a male makes. And indigenous women make 46 cents for every dollar.
There
you go. It's systemic and it's institutional and it's ongoing. And, you know, and that's where the mass work needs to be done.
But at the same time, I think we should be honest with ourselves and recognize that, you know, more representation of women in parliament or whatnot, although that is a step forward, like, would not necessarily translate whatsoever into social gains for the working masses, which is feminized, right? Like, the working class if you look at a lot of working class families, you have, you know what I mean? A lot of our young men are being thrown in prison and women are being left to raise a family and work two part-time, maybe three part-time, jobs, maybe a full-time and a part-time job. You know, like, the attack that's occurring on workers right now is disproportionately attacks on women, right?
Yeah.
And women's livelihoods as well.
And even if you look at countries that have, like, nationalized child care, like popular communal child care, like, it alleviates the burdens, the social burdens on single mothers and things and like this. And, you know, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And
In times like these, brothers and sisters, you know, like, it's clearly that it's pretty clear that our governments are not willing to help us. They're not willing to, you know, like, serve the people. So we got to start doing for self. We got to start organizing our communities for popular control. You know, whether that means food co-ops, whether that means, you know, collective child care. You know, your neighbor doesn't have a job. Your neighbor's reliable. You know what I mean? Why don't we talk about organizing child care in our neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
It is.
You got anything else, bro?
Not at the moment. I think maybe we could do a commercial break or a song or...
Yeah, let's do that. We'll come back with a track from the Underground Railroad, you know, the mixtape of the Hood to Hood Project. Yeah, Radio Basics, CHIY 105.5. We'll be back.
Yeah, we gonna burn the track. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire. We spit inferno raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track.
The conspiracy of silence is at its highest level, approved by several who sit at the bottom of the pedestal. And known to many, this wealthy group scoops the pennies, monopolized but high, because the public is the enemy. They reign supreme, using lies inside a scheme that was constructed to civilize human beings. Plus control and soul, even men signed up for roles, didn't mind to be told, for their obedience turned into gold. Now, millions of us trust their best-dressed men. We work for them while they pretend and act as friends, shaking hands for hours to gain more political power, accepting power but in return smile at us cowards. We agreed to place the world on the palms of these who don't hesitate to squeeze when an item is at need. It comes down to greed and the steady flow of currency that runs perfectly for the tycoons and their security. Money wasted, spin programs sophisticated, plans to leave the surface before we aid the helpless, confine the reckless while the cooperative respect us. Life well designed to train the boy as his apprentice.
Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire. We spit infernal raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire. We spit infernal raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track. The lizard is a wizard attached to the word best. Serpent lurking, coming from the abyss. She prevail in a veil known as a shard. Respect of the queen, bodies remain charred. Guards like Saint Bernard stretch the yard. Optical seeing guards and space pods. Bring it to an early metapause, we go hard. Continuously, no pause. You ecstatic like lint on Darrow fabric. I make the systematic, wild out like cabal Islamics. Natural flow grown like organics. You ain't convincing me, y'all be satanic. Car dealers playing with our lives, who want gambit? Unpredictable antics.
This is hip-hop magic. Like Johnson, HIV free. The government care for the rich and filthy. While the world hunger increasing like steadily.
From South America,
increasing like steadily.
To North America,
increasing like steadily.
Around the world,
they love the melody.
Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire.
We spit infernal raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track.
Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire.
We spit infernal raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track.
Think to my words like saran wrap on Magneto. I'm just a tall brother who likes Cheetos. Those to those and poles and think they're destined to overthrow my power. Sour like King Arthur the Fifth. Love, hate, is usually that weaponry I use to provoke thee. Stop, look, stare, compare automatically. You're forced to call me majesty and flatter me. Fatality be the outcome to all these Tweedledees and Tweedledums and shit's chest. It ain't check, let's just check you like Messier. Fake imposter, checking the dossier. You're just another brother ringing my bell, begging me if I could come outside to play. Right this way is what I usually say. Leading you into my web of deception. I despise to the fly, no matter how devastating the event.
Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire.
We spit infernal raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track.
Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire, fire, it's gonna blaze. Fire.
We spit infernal raps across the world. Yeah, we gonna burn the track.
Radio Basics, CHRY 105.5. That was Fire, Optical. That was off the Underground Railroad mixtape by a community organization, community movement here in Toronto, Hood to Hood. The Hood to Hood movement has been doing education with young black men and in Toronto's ghettos, mostly on the west side. They've been doing education around the history of gang structures, where they came from, trying to combat gangster ideology that is, rampant amongst the youth. And that is promoted by, mainstream media institutions, by mainstream media corporations in order to, set our youth on a course that, lands them in jail and has them, banging out on one another instead of on the system that is hurting them on a day-to-day basis. So that's the Underground Railroad mixtape. Once again, product of the Hood to Hood movement. Basic sells copies. If you want to get a copy, we'll hook you up. $5 for working class people. On the line with us tonight, we're going to be having an interview with Adam Hanaya of the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid. Justin, what's he going to be speaking about?
Are you on the line, Adam?
Yep. Thanks, Justin.
Hey, thanks. Welcome to Radio Basic. Thanks a lot for being on the show. Like I said, your work really focused on sort of the international aspects of the crises and just sort of the history of neoliberalism and how that sort of played into the global crisis that's actually reaching like all economies and sectors of the world. So maybe you could just speak briefly, if you just kind of give a rundown of the crisis.
Well, I think the first thing to be aware of is that this is like a major crisis that we're living through, probably something that most people on the planet haven't actually gone through before. The depth of what began in the financial sector and now is spreading to manufacturing and industry around the world is really something that hasn't been seen in decades. And if you read like the financial papers, the financial pages of the newspapers, you can see that there's a great deal of fear out there about where this might actually go. You were seeing every day tens of thousands of people basically losing their jobs, announcements of mass layoffs, bankruptcies, I think it's really important though that people see this not just as a crisis that's going to hit places such as Canada and the United States, but also really has global effects.
Yeah.
And that's what we really need to kind of take into consideration.
Yeah, definitely. I know you make this good point about how we've progressed past this sort of the local economies where things are produced locally, and now, like as you said, most things we consume have gone through numerous countries and the product of labor of thousands of people. Could you speak a bit about how that sort of process came about?
Sure. Basically, over the last couple of decades, we've seen really the global expansion of capitalism. And of course, capitalism has been around for centuries, but right. really what's happened over the last couple of decades is that every commodity that we produce and that we consume has involved the labors of thousands of people from different countries across the world. It might be like, you know, if you think of your computer, yeah. the raw material for that is sourced in one country, the chip is made in another country, maybe with workers from a third country, and then it's sent off to another country where it's assembled with other various components, mm-hmm. and finally ends up here in Canada, where you buy it in Walmart or wherever it might be. So, you know, it's this kind of like international spread of capitalism that's really deepened over the last couple of decades, means that what happens in a place like in the core countries, places such as the United States and Canada, really has massive ramifications for people living in the South that have kind of been caught up in this web of a global capitalism.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I was listening to a CBC radio a few days ago, just for kicks, basically, and. And so once one economist is talking about how our economy is backwards because we need to focus more on service sector jobs because that's where our economy is headed. And I'm thinking like, oh, so have we just sort of moved past production? Like where, so like what's happened? He's kind of just skimming over what's happened in production in general.
Yeah.
Your work points to how like production, we've sort of just displaced it south and moved it to these, to all these different countries in the global south, and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so what do you think are going to be the effects of the crisis? Do you see the consolidation, like, or the reconsolidation of neoliberalism, or do you see a movement into something else?
Well, I think there's a couple of things we need to look at here. One is that as this crisis deepens, and you know, despite what you might read in the capitalist press, this is going to get a lot worse. And as it does deepen, it's going to really impact people in the global south in a very deep manner. So, for example, those countries that really have become manufacturing centers of the world, places such as China, India, across Latin America, South Korea, these kinds of countries are really going to face massive job losses. So we're talking, in some cases, there are predictions of 40-50% drops in exports and resulting in massive increases in unemployment in some of these countries. In China, for example, just to give you one figure, China needs to grow at around 10% a year in order to absorb the 23 million people that join the workforce every year.
Wow.
The new workers that join the workforce.
Yeah.
So it needs a growth rate of around 10%. The predictions now are around 5%. So it's looking like there'll be massive social dislocation in a place like China. But there are other countries as well, though, that perhaps not so much dependent on the manufacturing sector, but send migrant labour over to work in places such as Canada. You know, we see this a lot in the United States. And many countries are totally dependent upon the remittances that these migrant workers send back home. And, you know, as we all know, when job losses occur in places such as Canada, the people who really suffer are, you know, migrant workers, many of whom are without status, and those remittance flows get cut off. And countries then really, really suffer. So it's those kind of impacts that we need to consider in the crisis.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, a lot of the media and the government, they like to point the finger at those people. Like,
yeah.
They are the source of the problem because it's so easy, right, to just displace it onto them.
That's totally right, and that's the big fear, I think, is that in this crisis, the response of business, and unfortunately the response of many people in the labor movement, is going to be to turn inwards and kind of say, well, we've got to look after ourselves, and it kind of sets people against one another rather than seeing that we actually have a common struggle and a common problem, and that's what we need to unite around and fight around.
Yeah, and I think also, like, your work alludes to this, that with all that massive unemployment in non-core countries, it just leads to a whole other set of neoliberal loans and structural adjustments, right?
Yeah, exactly. One of the myths that have you kind of hear peddled again through the mainstream media and the business commentators is that we're in for like an era of Keynesianism, a return to Keynesianism and social spending, but really, I think the opposite is true, that this crisis is going to mean a much harder, more authoritarian state, which means forcing poor people basically to accept the costs of this crisis and to try and offload the impacts of the crisis onto poor people, not just here in the core, but also into the south. And those are the kind of links and the kind of unity that we need to look and build towards.
Mm-hmm, indeed. I'm not sure if you were with us, Adam, before you came on the show, but we had actually mentioned that hidden in last week's federal budget, despite, you know, all the fanfare and all the, you know, the public debate that was focused in particular on some of the spending in the real economy on infrastructure and such, which amounted to a few billions of dollars, there was a $200 billion banking bailout to Canada's chartered banks, which similar to that of the insured mortgage purchase program of October and November 2008, where the Canadian government bought, you know, these bad and you know, questionably solvent mortgage debts from Canadian banks for about $75 billion, and also with very little public debate, the Canadian government, heeding to the calls of business leaders, did indeed give into this $200 billion bailout that they had been asking for the last few months. I understand that, I know you study political economy, like, what do you think is going to be the effects of that on not only, you know, the structure of our economy here and public's, you know, social service, but also imperialism? How will those relate?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the kind of bailout schemes that we're seeing both here in Canada and also in the United States are not really aimed at all in addressing the impact of the crisis on working people. What they are aimed at doing is basically helping big business, large corporations to paper over their debts and also to help them merge. And this is really what's happening in the United States. If you look in the banking sectors, really the money that's coming from the U.S. government is being used to promote the mergers and acquisitions of companies. You know, these companies and these corporations are actually basically just joining up together, becoming larger, and in effect socializing their losses, socializing their debts, making offloading that onto the poor. And that's the same process we're seeing here in Canada. So if this goes unchallenged, what it means is that capitalism emerges in many ways in a much stronger level and is able to kind of expand expand globally, and that's really what we're trying to what we're seeing the governments of capitalist countries trying to do.
Now that's an interesting point that you make, right? Because I think, I mean, while there's hints of that that are poking through the so-called public debate, that is to say that capitalism is actually strengthening, the dominant narrative is that capitalism is in serious crisis, and there is crisis, but that this idea that capitalist firms are consolidating and further strengthening themselves, I think would kind of seem contradictory to a lot of people who would be listening into the public debate. Can we tease out that contradiction, the one between capitalism getting stronger and yet all of us feeling like things are actually getting worse?
Well, I think both of these things go together. That's exactly the right point, that yes, we're going to see mass bankruptcies, and we are seeing bankruptcies. We're seeing companies laying off workers. We're seeing cuts in wages across all sectors. I wouldn't be surprised if we see here in Canada an attempt to freeze public sector wages, those kinds of things. And all of these measures are aimed at consolidating and strengthening capital. And unless they are checked and resisted, that's unfortunately going to be the case. The effects of the crisis are very real, and it is a very deep and very severe crisis. But the people who are going to be made to pay for it aren't the ones who created it in the first place, and aren't the ones that served the system that created this in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny you said that. I saw a really a sneaky thing in one of the sort of the outlines of a loan for GM. It said if your workers go on strike, you will lose the loan. And they're not outlawing strikes, but they're kind of making the union concede to, okay, well, we need this loan, so yeah, we'll kind of give up our right in this way, right? And it's what you said, the more authoritarian restructuring, more powerful restructuring. Now, in terms of when you speak of the difference between Keynesianism and neoliberalism, could you just kind of give a rundown of Keynesianism for our listeners and why this is different?
Sure. I mean, to the popular kind of the way it's conceived, people think of Keynesianism as, you know, a period starting in the 30s, but really after the Second World War, when governments put money into social spending and into infrastructure, into the public sector. We saw like a big expansion of public sector works and spending on education and health and these kinds of things. That's kind of in the popular way of thinking about it. It's important to realize that those social gains, were won through people's struggle. It wasn't something that was granted by governments, you know, out of goodwill. They were actually, you know, there were big movements, the strong labor movements, social movements, a left that fought for these things and won them in many of the core countries. But people think that, and the way it's kind of being spun, particularly around Obama and here in Canada, is that the response of governments to this crisis is going to be a renewal of social spending. And I don't know if anyone saw Obama on the television today. He was talking about some of the projects he wants to do, like school funding and this kind of stuff. But in reality, as we've been saying, that's not going to happen. Rather, we're going to see neoliberalism, which is kind of the economic program that we've seen over the last couple of decades, and that means privatization. It means cuts to wages, cuts to working conditions. It means selling off public property and these kinds of things. So that's essentially the core differences.
Any other questions, Justin?
No, I was just going to add to that. I've seen a lot of schools, I don't know if it's in Canada yet, in the United States, they're appealing to Walmart, say, to fund, like, just repairs to the gym. And now, like, some schools have a big Walmart sign inside their gyms and, you know, selling off even to appealing to, say, Pepsi or Coke or other, like, non-healthy alternatives who take over the schools, and that just leads to a whole another issue of social ills, right?
Yeah, I think there's two points or two indications of this. One is that in the budget, the Canadian federal budget that came down a couple of weeks ago, the public infrastructure spending was tied to P3s, and a P3 is basically a way of the government giving money to corporations. It means that the spending and the building of the infrastructure has to be done by private companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of essentially channeling state funds into the hands of private corporations.
Yeah.
And that was one of the conditions of the infrastructure spending. The other thing to watch out for is that in all of these budgets that we're seeing, the one sector that is not being cut and the one sector that's getting increased funding is the cops. And this is something
and the military.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's also a deliberate policy that we can see.
Yeah, and I guess we also have to tease out the relationship between, like, why is it that out of all of the cuts to social services right across the board, that, you know, the police and the military are not being cut. We now in Toronto are going to have a municipal police budget of $1 billion a year, a staggering $1 billion, and a military budget, which the Conservatives are implementing, of $500 billion over the next, I believe it is, next 15 years or so, until 2020 or like 2025, $500 billion military budget. I was reading a StatsCan report the other day, Adam, that was showing the rate of Canadian, how do I frame it, the proportion of profits derived from foreign investments has been increasing each year in relation to the GDP, which is to say that the proportion of Canadian capital going abroad as opposed to being invested here is increasing every year, which is to say that the Canadian economy is more and more dependent on the exploitation of people elsewhere as opposed to right here. Like, can you talk about some of the implications of that, of what that means for not only, I mean, the people of the world who are being affected by, you know, Canadian economic policies, but how that relates to foreign policy and such?
Sure. And this is essentially the process we were talking about earlier, that what's happened over the last couple of decades is capitalism has really conceived itself through a global scale. So capital in places such as Canada, the United States, Europe, really looks to grow overseas. It looks to invest overseas, and not just for raw materials, although that's very important, particularly for a place like Canada, but also for setting up production facilities, doing research, providing many of the services that go into producing our commodities, all of this kind of stuff. So it really is this global spread. And in that case, you need, because it relies upon cheap labor, it relies upon keeping commodity prices cheap, it relies upon environmental destruction, hand in hand with it, you need a strong military that will enforce these conditions. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So, you know, you would just have to look to Haiti, in the case of Canada, for a clear example of, like, Haiti, a country that's been, devastated, and already by this economic crisis, is a cheap labor pool for Canadian corporations. And we have, the record of Canadian military and the United Nations over there, really, a very repressive, record. So that's
right.
We have Canadian mining companies across, Latin America and Africa. This is essentially what Canadian business does. It's at odds with the image of Canada as this friendly peacekeeping nation, which is a total
myth. That's right. I mean, if we scan the world very briefly, we have, you know, Canada participating in the kidnapping of the Haitian president in 2004, the popular president Aristide. We have the Canadian government supporting the paramilitaries and the military dictatorship of Gloria Macapagal Arroyo in the Philippines against the People's Liberation Movement there. We have the Canadian government being silent and the Canadian media basically, giving tacit support to the Sri Lankan state terror on the Tamil peoples and the Tamil genocide. And Adam, I mean, you're involved with the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid. It seems like the Canadian government over the last couple of years has become one of the most vocally supportive countries in the world for Israeli apartheid.
Yeah, absolutely. Canada's always been in support of Israel. It's not something new, but over the last few years, there has been a very open shift to the right in this. Canada was the first country to cut aid to the Palestinian Authority in 2006. It's worked very closely with the Israelis and the United States to basically prop up the regime of Abu Mazen, the Palestinian Authority, their force in the West Bank, and it continues to provide political, military, diplomatic, and economic support to Israel. But I think it's important to realize that there are these kinds of things. There are hopeful signs as well. There's resistance happening across the globe, and you know, particularly in places like Latin America, where we're seeing, in Venezuela, Bolivia, Cuba, we're seeing attempts to kind of de-link from this global structure and set up alternative forms where the country's wealth isn't plundered, but actually it goes back into the hands of the people and is used to serve the people.
That's right. And I mean, over the last few months, there's also been the revolutionary government of Nepal, which has challenged foreign imperialism, Indian, the political and military aggression of the Indian state in that region of South Asia, and they've been challenging, you know, like the internal class oppression of feudalism and a capitalism that is really just parasites from outside, you know, sucking the country. And it's incredible. People look to the revolution in Nepal and the course that it's taken. It's you know, all around the world we look, there are inspiring examples of struggle like this that it seems like Canadians can learn a lot from.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. I think that's totally true. And I think as this crisis deepens, we're going to see these forms of resistance sharpen, and there will be many lessons to learn.
Yeah, and Canadians, you know, I think should realize that these are our class allies. These are our brothers and sisters, and you know, they're fighting basically the same monopoly interests and corporations that right here in our own country they're attacking us on a day-to-day basis too, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Adam, thank you very much for being on our show tonight.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay.
That was Adam Hanaya of the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid, which really launched its work here in Toronto a number of years ago, but has since gone global. The Israeli apartheid, the anti-Israeli apartheid movement is blowing up internationally, on the scene, you know, in multiple cities across the world, challenging and raising awareness around the genocidal and apartheid policies of the Israeli state, you know, fighting for the liberation of the Palestinian people, and also, you know, bringing perspective to, you know, the role that Israel plays in the Middle East as a tool of imperialism, of Western interests. Let's go to commercial. CHRY 105.5 Radio Basics. We'll be back.
Porque en el mundo está pasando, la impotencia me reclama y la historia sigue hablando de pueblos masacrados por apoyos imperiales que ostentan sus riquezas con saqueos ancestrales, caminos bien difíciles, pero hay más. Siguiendo el pensamiento del papá de los libertadores, Venezuela dijo fuera, fascista del Mossad, boicot contra Israel, económico mundial, abajo tu checkpoint, abajo tus murallas, hallate en ayer, hallate en tifada, alimentos, medicina, los bloqueaste criminal, respeta su gobierno, decidieron por jamás, disparan los halcones y asesinan a inocencia, vamos todos puño en alto por los niños de esas tierras, que gritan día a día, Palestina se respeta, el mundo se levanta, Palestina, Venezuela, Palestina se respeta, Venezuela te respeta, Palestina, Venezuela te respeta. Y comiendo en McDonald's mientras bombardean Gaza, muchos no entienden la protesta, la guerra no ha llegado a Gaza. Tarjeta feliz, sonrisas que financian la guerra en otro país, please. Mueren niños inocentes, son luces que se apagan, resistencia, Palestina, insurgencia, intifada, invasión, militarización, igualacionismo, el mundo se enfrenta al neonazismo, legalizando robo de territorios con terrorismo. La ONU es solo un espejismo, legalizarse la masacre, estructural es el problema, democracia transnacional neoliberal, representas al monopolio del capital, a todos los pueblos del mundo le caes mal, entraste en tu fase inmoral imperialista. Fascista, llamas a los pueblos que se defienden terroristas, generando guerras con tu odio, objetivo, territorio, petróleo, obligas a los pueblos a pelear, Palestina es resistencia, resistencia es jamás, luchando todos unidos, enseñanza de Arafat.
Que lo sepa Venezuela, que lo sepa el continente, Palestina no se rinde, Palestina no se vende, luchemos codo a codo, luchemos todos juntos, gritemos en este mundo que derrumbe ese mundo.
Y verdugo del siglo XXI, lo que tengo que decirle, mi consecuencia la asumo. Estamos en resistencia, así que súbanme los puños. Lance sus zapatos, pero láncelos bien duro. Venimos más conscientes, ahora voy en alertada. Asesinan a civiles de manera descabellada. Quieres cobrarte lo que te hicieron en tu vida pasada, pero te jodiste, volvió la intifada. Nada, tú serás juzgado con George Bush y con el Papa. Tú no tienes tierra, ahora quieres estar en el mapa. Los pueblos se despiertan y empieza a protestar. No tuviste chance. ¿Cómo?
contra Hezbollah. A tu patrocinante lo vamos a boicotear. Disneylandia, Coca-Cola, IBM, L'Oreal, Procter & Gamble, Philips, Warren, Esso Mobile y la Kraft, Johnson Johnson, Chevrolet, Nike, Metaf. Con tus armas tecnológicas, tu tanqueta, tu metralla, tu trabón nunca se calla, tú no me ganes esta batalla. Naciones Unidas de ustedes estamos altos. Tú dices ese al fuego, pero no me dices cuándo. Tu discurso mis oídos, verdaderamente hipócrita. Tu mirada de sionista se percibe bien irónica. Malévola, racista, grupo de escoria. Palestinos somos todos, anda lucha por tu gloria.
Libertad para Ilich Ramírez.
That was Palestina by a very popular Venezuelan hip hop group, an Afro-Venezuelan, black consciousness hip hop group, Familia Negra, yes. Writing on Palestine.
Those guys are just sick musicians. I remember when they were up here, we had a little session, like we had a few musicians, Makaya, and we just went in a small studio, and we just banged out some songs and like,
oh, it was crazy.
Yeah, they wouldn't stop, just off the top of their head, like it was unreal. And hopefully we can get that remastered and out to the public soon.
Yeah. Basics, Familia Negra track on the way.
Yes.
We got a few community announcements. We're gonna be up out of here in a minute. What do you got, Jay?
What do we got? No One Is Illegal, Toronto, they're having a weekend-long event starting February 19th to February 22nd. It's called The City Is a Sweatshop, and it speaks to what, if you're just tuning in, our guest Adam was talking about the migrant laborers and the so-called illegal workers that they it's sweatshop conditions what they're living in right here in Toronto. So this event is co-sponsored by CAW Sam Gindin. He's the chair in social justice and democracy. It's supported by the Migrante Ontario and the Justicia for Migrant Workers. It's featuring a whole bunch of people from movements in New York, the Odre Lorde Project, people who organized to win employment rights, San Francisco, Doreen Silversmith, Six Nations. We got Vancouver-based organizer and writer Harsha Walia, authors.
Who's with No One Is Illegal out in Vancouver.
Yep. And, there's tons of people, many more. And so you go on the website and you register, and this is going to be an amazing event, I think. Amazing. So.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. We got another event coming up next weekend. It's the fourth annual rally for our missing sisters, missing Indigenous sisters here in Canada. This rally is going to be happening on Saturday, February 14th at noon outside Toronto Police Headquarters, which is 40 College Street near Bay Street. So why outside Toronto Police Headquarters? The rally and the march is going to be, in order to raise awareness around the hundreds of Indigenous women who have been murdered or have gone missing in this country over the last 30 years with impunity, without question. You know, women who are disappearing en masse and nobody's asking any questions where these women are going, who is murdering these women, and there has been proved to be links between the police and the murder and disappearance of Indigenous peoples, Indigenous women, stories about the police driving people out to the middle of nowhere, like outside Winnipeg, and dropping people off, Indigenous people naked or without, warm, without any clothes or shoes in the middle of nowhere to freeze to death.
Yeah, Neil Stonechild, that's his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the rally is going to be, once again, this Saturday, February 14th at noon. People should check it out. The event is endorsed by QP, the Trans Feminist Action Caucus, QP 3903, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, the Center for Women and Trans People, University of Toronto, and a number of other organizations. No One Is Illegal, Toronto Haiti Action Committee. So people should check it out. It's really important. I know we don't have time to, obviously people don't have time to check out every event happening all the time or to get involved in everything. And that may not be the best use of our time to try to spread yourself too thin and burn yourself out. But there's certainly a lot that people can learn about what has happened to these women and the nature of the Canadian state, especially towards colonized people living within and under a colonial occupation, under laws that discriminate against them, and so on and so forth. I mean, there's certainly eye-opening if people had any illusions about, you know, the Canadian government's treatment of the Indigenous peoples.
Yeah, and even there's so much to learn just from the power of their struggles. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's so uplifting. Like, it's there's almost no words really.
That's right. Barrier Lake, yeah. Tiendanega, Six Nations, and a host of other places. You know, the Indigenous resistance going on against the 2010 Olympics. Out on the colonized, the unceded territory, Coast Salish territory out in British Columbia. Places where, you know, like the land is being colonized and stolen with impunity by the state, by corporations, even by churches sometimes, you know, and people got to realize that this is land that was never ceded. It's completely illegal, the occupation. That's not even to speak for land that was so-called legally colonized, but land that was, you know, never even...
excuses.
There's no treaty. Like, they signed treaties that completely contradict their actions today. So anyways, people should check that out. I think we're done. Anything else?
That might be it. I mean, there's a million things to talk about, but we only got a small time frame. So.
That's right. I mean, people should check out our website, basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com. We have all the Radio Basics archive of our previous shows are up on there. You can check us out. We put our radio programs up on radioforall.net, linked from our website. We have a host of our articles online, archived on basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com, and you can get a lot of other announcements coming out from there.
Definitely thanks to Adam for being on the show
today. Thanks to Adam.
That was a great interview.
For real. And you know what I mean? This is Campus Community Radio. Basics is news media for the people. You know, we're in the process of creating a people's school of journalism. We're constantly expanding our paper. We got thousands of issues coming to working class communities. I know there's got to be some people listening to the show right now who I'm sure have seen Basics coming at their door. And what people got to realize is that we work because the people work, right? Like, we don't get any money from any grants. You know, we don't spend our time sitting in offices writing grants and any of that BS. You know, we are doing what we do because the people support us. We work with the people. We are the people. This is People's Radio.
Yeah.
CHRY. Radio Basics, 105.5. Check us out next week. We're going to be back Monday, 8 to 9 p.m. Thank you for my host, Justin. Justin, by the way, is a new host.
Yes, I was on once before I made a brief appearance, but, you know, this is the first show I've been fully a part of, and, you know, it's a good time. It's good, man.
So let's go out with another track, and we'll see if we have some time. The next host isn't here yet. We'll just keep playing tracks. We'll be here all night if we have to. But
I ain't leaving.
Let's check out another track from the... Underground Railroad mixtape. This is our homeboy, Wasson, my brother, my comrade, you know what I mean? A brother in struggle. This is Streets to Listen off the Underground Railroad mixtape. We're out.
Make it more chops, go and tell them why I sent a message for cops. We got YOs, you know the art of making pork chops. Young Chef Boyardee's in the culinary arts, reading Panther books, telling those eating pork stop. Stitching before you get hit with four shots. This is psychological warfare, we gon' plot. Mind over matter, in the memory of pop. Drinking Hennessy a lot, selling around the clock. Dealers getting shot at job because he suck cock of the youth dealing. Fiending for the rock, so they turn heartless, get corrupted off chops. So the whole city and everyone is disgusted, but hire more cops so we know they can't be trusted. Hug a thug, Fantino said don't show up, but that Mussolini need to get his grave dug with the fascists. Who responsible? Where the blacks is? In the hood pumping out drugs where the track is. The next product on the block, so streets listen. Chopping food up non-stop in the kitchen. There's no bacon soda in this, stop twitching. This is for goons and thugs, not Christians. The next product on the block, so streets listen. Chopping food up non-stop in the kitchen. There's no bacon soda in this, stop twitching. This is for goons and thugs, not Christians. Knowledge step
deficit in the 07, self no cash, half illiterate from no class, but words flow fast, ciphering outside the lobby, shoeless Joe Lash, Ray and nephew, off the rocks in an old flask, young and restless, hoop dreams for hunger, more cash, high off the scent, a new gear, but it don't last, biography, life on the streets, it don't last, like a rapist in the dawn jail, dead so fast, if he's still living, try going after children, stuck with brain damage in a wheelchair, bitching, life is hell, dance with the devil, some fail, the recipe for disaster, line a rail, will white sniff hell and stay free, skin pale, the black cell crack and fill the range, no bail, why is that, KRS-One, question this track, like my second half from childhood, quiz is back, the vibe chance is not hip-hop, this is rap like 86, knocked hip-hop, this is crack, now the crack baby's all grown, this is fact, we backtrack, from civilized to savage acts, the next product on the block, so streets listen, chopping food up non-stop in the kitchen, there's no baking soda in this, stop twitching, this is for goons and thugs, not Christians, the next product on the block, so streets listen, chopping food up non-stop in the kitchen, there's no baking soda in this, stop twitching, this is for goons and thugs, not Christians. Richmond Hill brought me up, raised my son in Oakwood, where drug runners flow good and pigs they roast good, like Todd Bayless at 12th Division got loaded, my young ones, the government raised so good, like hard dough, poor man militia, human show good, he KDB like Russian KGB, no crooks for 80 G's, brothers drop not a million, that's a pipe dream, selling cracks in the building, while my son scream from his lungs, save the children, understand I do recognize a need for killing, as long as it's property owners, God willing, who own banks or other private owned buildings, golden shower on the rich, left in a shower or stitch, like P.E., fight for the power, don't snitch, and study how Castro made the Sourhood rich, stop watching Scarface to learn how we move bricks, the next product on the block, so streets listen, chopping food up non-stop in the kitchen, there's no baking soda in this, stop twitching, this is for goons and thugs, not Christians, the next product on the block, so streets listen, chopping food